Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Pipes is writing down a lot of stuff. I'm just going to go from the gut. And joining us now, Coach Bielma. Josh Whitman joining us now.
You get to say all the cool name drops.
Do it.
Brad Underwood, our guest.
College hoops.
How do you lose to Jackson State?
Call up every single person in the media that didn't put Kofi first team All-American. And I don't know, just play like clown noises.
I want to bet the Bears.
Oh, Michael Porter Jr. has been good, but he thinks the earth is flat, so I can't pick him.
Oh, boy.
Throw it up to Kofi, and he's just going to tear the rim off.
How is he so good?
All right, Hans, I'm going to mute you for a while.
Okay.
Oh, there's a timeout on the court!
So what we want to do is build a same-game parlay that will win all of us some money.
Maybe Rondale Moore could be Cooper Kupp, but he's not.
Is it Instagram?
Yeah.
Is that what IG means?
I think you have to win the Big Ten title to win Big Ten Player of the Year.
Woohoo!
They're back.
Hey, good morning. It is The Drive, ESPN Radio 93.5 Latte. Derek Piper on a splendidly hot May Day.
It is.
Did you enjoy spring?
The two days of it?
Yeah. Wait a minute. Did we have spring? Hey, I'll never complain about heat.
I will take this.
I no doubt.
Evenings are great, especially to get back from radio.
Yes.
Maybe after dinner, sit on the porch for a little bit.
Maybe pop a cold one, fire up the grill.
Yeah.
I agree. I need a pool that I could stick my feet in and just kind of chill is what I need. But I need a lot of things. I need a hot tub for the winter. I am kind of mad at myself. My entire life, I've always been a hot tub guy. I love hot tubs. We used to have one down at our place near Mill Creek, and I used to love going out there in the sunroom and sitting when it was cold outside. You could sit there, and then about dusk, you know, you'd see deer walking over from Mill Creek and might be on your third or fourth. You know, you're just kind of chilling, and it's like, man, this is great. But I've never, ever had a hot tub at my house, and I don't know why. And I know there's plenty of people to do, and they're not terribly expensive, especially for what it could get you. But I know there's also a lot of people who are like, I don't want anything to do with a hot tub. So I don't know. I don't, for some stupid reason, I've never had one. I'd like to do that.
You get one of the pool or hot tub. I'll get the other, and then
like
we're both
it.
In Muhammad. So
boom.
We'll hang out.
We'll just make that happen. I'm all about that, yeah. Except you'll be like, hey, Lon, we're bringing Kate over. And you get to hold him for like an hour while I hit the pool. I'll be like, okay, I'd love, I got to come see Kate. I have to.
Or I'll bring him in.
Please do. Maybe next week. Okay. Try to make that happen next week. Tomorrow's show will be, of course, a Friday, and we're not going to have Hans. So I don't know. Is it even worth showing up?
We probably should.
Yeah, I guess we should. We got the weed eater guy right outside our.
Great timing.
Yeah.
He must listen to the show.
I don't think anybody could probably hear him. It's just us, but it's kind of funny. All right, we're doing something today that I cannot wait to do, and that's an interview with Chris Detmers coming up here in the bottom of the hour. And I know most of you know that Reed Detmers, his son, is from Chatham, Illinois, played over at Chatham, and ended up pitching for Louisville in college, and now with the Angels, the LA Angels, and he threw a no-hitter on Tuesday night. And I think it's so cool that that's the night Lucas graduated. And so for the rest of our lives, essentially, Chris and I will have a really cool connection to that night. Because, you know, obviously, and I'm not trying to put one over the other. I mean, come on. That's pretty impressive with a no-hitter, right?
Wow.
But Lucas, if you're listening, man, I love you. And look, you know, there's not many that are in the bigs throwing no-hitters. But I just
get through 4 years of school at Arizona State with all that's going around there. I mean, that's
with good grades.
Yeah, pretty impressive.
I totally agree. So, but no, I literally told myself that night, I'm like, that's going to be so cool that for the rest of my life, if I ever hear, like, if somebody says, oh, you know, on this date 10 years ago, Reed Detmers threw a no-hitter, I'll be like, ah, and Lucas Day graduated that night from ASU. So I think that's so cool. But we're going to talk to Chris at the bottom of the hour, and I just can't wait to, you know, just ask him, what was that like? I'm assuming he probably talked to Reed that night. I'm sure he does probably every game, but I wonder how difficult it was to talk to him that night. Not that a parent would have a difficult time. Well, Sometimes it is tricky getting a hold of your youngster. But with all, I can't imagine how many media requests Reed Detmers had. And so I wonder what time they finally did that. And of course, you know, the Detmers still live in central Illinois. Right. And of course, he's out west, and that was in L.A. So it's a late game anyway.
They showered him with Gatorade on the field. I'm imagining it was something different maybe in the locker room.
Uh-huh.
After a no-hitter. Come on now.
I think he's 22 years old.
He is.
Is that right? Yep. 22 years old.
Yeah, one of the youngest to ever throw one.
That's incredible. That is incredible. Who's the youngest?
I think it's Bud Smith.
Ah! Bud Smith. We'll have to break that down later. That would be.
Yeah, I was doing a little research.
Were you really?
I was.
We'll break that down later. But I'm just anxious to talk to Chris. So I met Chris when Lucas was playing travel ball with the Champaign Tribe, and we would run into his team on occasion. And I can recall one game where we had a really good pitcher, Jake Walters, and he threw against Reed. We actually beat them 1-0. And what I remember about it is after like 4 or 5 innings, Reed came out of the game. Chris pulled him out of the game. And for some reason, I was at third base coach for some reason. I don't know if Jeff Davis was not there that day. I don't understand why I was there. But anyway, or maybe I was just talking to Chris between innings. And I said, are you taking Reed out? And he goes, yeah, he's hit his pitch count. And I'm like, oh. So I'm like, my son just threw 120 pitches last night. No, I'm kidding. But it was like, I'm like, oh. So, and I asked him, I said, is that always something that you really look at? And because if you don't know who I'm talking about, Chris Detmers made it all the way to AAA with the Cardinals. He never, I don't think, ever made it to the big league team, but he got so close, and I believe he's from Nokomis. So I asked him that, and he said, oh, yeah, I always use a pitch count with Reed, et cetera. But you could just tell back then that, you know, he was a lefty that had control. He was patient on the mound. He did just everything right. And you just knew, it's like, all right, that kid, I'm not saying I knew he was destined for Major League Baseball or to throw a no-hitter in Major League Baseball, but certainly you knew that what he was about, right, that he had the chance to do something great. So really cool on that. All right, so that's the cool stuff. We'll talk to Chris here at the bottom of the hour. The Cardinals just lost 2 of 3 to the Baltimore Orioles.
In St. Louis. Not that it mattered. They could play on the moon. He couldn't lose 2 out of 3 to the Baltimore Orioles.
Actually, today was the bus trip.
That's right.
Stevie and Diane and a bunch of our great listeners just, I just remembered that. Shoot. So they're coming home with a 3-2 loss. That stinks, too, when you're home. Yeah, when you're coming home with a loss, it's like, what?
I had my bachelor party in St. Louis last year, and they lost the Reds. Now, we still had fun, but.
How much really did it matter if the Cardinals won that night?
Nah, I forgot about it. Not too long afterwards.
But you know what's funny? Like, you and Trevor and I would be the idiots that would actually, like, we'd be like, oh, man, it was a great night, but the stinking Cardinals lost. And everybody else would be like, oh, were we even at a game? You know, like, who cares? But you're like, well, I mean, I kind of wanted them to win while we were doing all that. I forgot about that. I forgot you lost on that. I hate to hear that for you. Well, yeah, the Cardinals lose today, and that's 2 of 3 to the Orioles. Have they lost, what, like 4 of 5 is what I heard you say?
Yep, lost the last 2 of the 4-game set in San Francisco and then lose 2 out of 3 to the Orioles.
That's not good.
It's not when Milwaukee's, I think they're 20-12.
I believe that's right.
2.5 games up on you, so not a huge lead by any means. But
and extremely early, and we get that. It's just, you know, there's certain times during the year when you're going to be playing like the Reds or the Pirates.
Or the Royals.
Or the Royals or the Orioles, where you feel like, let's go ahead and at least win the series, all right? I mean, I know we're asking maybe too much for a sweep, which I don't think the Cardinals have swept anyone yet this year, but, you know, is it okay to just take 2 of 3 against Baltimore? But I don't know. Steven Matz, of course, pitched today. He did okay. Here's Ollie Marmol, the Cardinals manager, after today's game.
Well, changeup was in play. It was a good pitch for him today. Made a couple mistakes on the solo homers. But, I thought that was a very positive outing for Matz. I mean, catch as well. Yeah, I think there's always a debate where you go through the scenario of if she should or shouldn't, but no, we felt pretty good about sending them out there.
Dickerson just kind of get it on the funny bone, maybe a little bit. He was having trouble with his hand.
Yeah, just couldn't squeeze at all, couldn't feel it at first, settled down, and he was able to obviously stay in there, but yeah, got him pretty good, yeah.
To circle back on that, no walks, pretty good rhythm, that's a sign of how it felt with all the pitches, or maybe kind of the sequencing that Kisner was calling, just
He did feel good. I think a little bit of all of the above. He felt good, had command of his stuff. The changeup was in play and he used it often. So he stuck with what was working and it gave him results, but positive outing for sure. Yeah, I think there's guys taking good at-bats and there's guys that aren't right now. And in order for this to click and go the direction that we needed to go, there's more guys have to contribute. That's just the bottom line. But there's certain guys taking really good at-bats right now. And our hope is that it starts to click. Yeah. Nothing for me to announce at the moment yet, but yeah.
Safe to say he's in consideration for a start this weekend.
That's a possibility.
That is Ollie Marmol, Cardinals manager. I we can hit that second part here in a second about Adam Wainwright, who, of course, has been out with COVID protocol. But it does sound like Waino is getting close to where he could maybe pitch this weekend. I saw some video of him today throwing in the bullpen, not during the game, obviously, before the game, but kind of getting his warm-ups in, etc. So that's good to get Adam Wainwright back. I thought it was interesting today. The Cardinals went with Mats today, and they held Hicks for the Giants, who that team's coming to Busch Stadium next. So I think they wanted a longer outing out of Mats, maybe because to save bullpen or something. But heck, they just had an easy win yesterday, so I don't know why we're worried about the bullpen there. But look, Steven Mats has been really good in like five starts and atrocious in like three and, yep, and average in one.
He was decent today. Yeah. Three earned runs.
Seven
could
strikeouts.
Could have only been two. Mm-hmm. There was 6 2/3, but then Cabrera gives up a run replacing him, so that got charged to Mats. So especially against the Orioles, you'd expect to be able to put two, three runs on the board so he's not on the hook for the loss.
But correct.
Yes.
Tyler O'Neill. We can kind of break all this down as we go along here, but Tyler O'Neill, man, another 0-for-3, gets doubled off to end the game.
Well, it ended up being 1-for-4 because he singled in the ninth.
What am I saying? That's right.
But
shallow.
Take the hit away because he got doubled off at first.
They're going to need more from him. I mean, he's a guy, you were there, right, opening day when he just went nuts. He's a guy that you've got to get more from. I know Albert was in that lineup and did not produce for him today, and he's really struggling too. I mean, it's kind of getting to the point where it's like, uh-oh, this is kind of what we hoped wouldn't happen with Albert Pujols, but we'll see. And, you know, it's a long season, right? We're May 12th, so we got plenty of time here on that, but certainly, I think Tyler O'Neill, I mean, you know, I'm not saying he's in the DeJong area because DeJong has been sent down, but they're going to need something out of Tyler. And he just kind of looks, he doesn't look comfortable at the plate. Even the single he had in the ninth was just kind of a shallow bloop to right, essentially. So I don't know. To me, he just doesn't look right, and I don't know how you get him right. I don't think Jeff Albert's going to do it.
No.
Sorry.
Whatever's happening right now is not working. I know that earlier in the game, he was up bases loaded, two outs, and struck out on three pitches. And that's not a guy that is even having a competitive at bat.
Like, that's going
forcing
right
the pitcher.
At him too.
Yeah, right. So that's certainly very concerning. He struck out twice, batting 200 now. They've even moved him down in the order where he's batting sixth. It's not working. And that was a guy that was supposed to be batting fourth in your lineup earlier in the, or third in your lineup earlier in the year.
You want to trade him for Suzuki? Trevor, you want to make that trade?
No.
Why? He makes less. could save on payroll.
No. That's a real shame that your 58-year-old DH isn't hitting. I'm sorry to hear that.
Can I ask you this? The fact that he barely plays, like he plays once every fourth or fifth day, it seems like. Maybe it's every third. You would think that you'd want him to get into a rhythm as a hitter.
I would
agree.
That
hurting his opportunity? I know you don't want to hit him against, like, especially hard-throwing righties that are very good because he's just not producing against them. But I wonder, even with him and both Yachty, is that affecting the fact that they're not hitting their stride as hitters, the fact that they aren't playing all that often?
Yeah, I've got two thoughts to this. I wish he was hitting more. I do. But I think the real reason here is that Marmol, it's a long season, right?
Yeah.
I'm not saying you don't know that, but I think they're just trying to really protect them early to get them into the point where they're still going to have be fresh, if you will, when it counts. Not that it doesn't count now, but like in the stretch drive. But my thought to that is exactly what you said. Yes, I want to see it. What I've seen out of Corey Dickerson is nothing that is it Dickerson or Dickinson?
Dickerson.
Dickerson. It's nothing that I'm comfortable with or that impressed with. Now, Juan Yepes is a guy that certainly I'd probably rather see right now hitting than Albert Pujols.
Right.
And if you ever bring up Nolan Gorman, which we can talk about later as well, but yeah, I'm with you. I would almost, and I understand that Albert's struggling, but I would almost rather see him. Now, today he played first to give Goldie a break, but I would almost rather see Albert play more than he is. And because I'd love to see him try to get more on a roll, but it seemingly worked with LA, right, in this role. And I honestly think that they're just trying to keep him and Yachty, especially, because Kisner got the start again today, they're just trying to keep them fresh. Do the Cardinals stick with Kisner as their future and Herrera, or do they go get a catcher, you think? That'll be interesting to see.
It will be
year.
Interesting. Kisner currently hitting .217. He batted eighth today.
Yeah.
He hasn't sold me yet.
No. And I don't know that Herrera's ready down in AAA. I don't know. It'd be the first time in, what, 20 years you've had to go look for a catcher?
That's a real shame. Both of your guys' point, though, like, honestly, what are you even protecting Albert from? Like,
yeah,
if Dickerson's
going
to go 0-for-4, Paul DeYoung's going to hit in that spot. Like, I get that the righty thing is like, well, you can't throw him against a righty, but, like, also, why not?
Yeah, exactly.
Just once. Like, it's not like three strikeouts is suddenly going to demean him mentally to a place where he can never step in the batter's box again or something.
And
like,
he's always hit against righties his whole career, so.
As someone on the outside who doesn't watch this every day.
I like it.
Getting rid of Schilt to hire Marmol seemed like they wanted, you know, control of whatever was going on. And it surprises me that if this is the, whatever you'd call it, puppeteer manager for the organization, it surprises me that the move is playing those guys less.
That's
it
fair.
It seems like internally you would want those guys in there.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
I think it all boils down to Jeff Albert. I mean, Schilt didn't like Albert, I don't think. And
I still want to.
But Zalok's like, no, he's our pitching or he's our hitting. And
in 2050, when Cade and I are hosting this show, I want Mike Schilt in here with an alcoholic beverage for 2 hours. Because that's still so strange to me.
I know. I'm with you on that. Hey, let's take a break because we're going to get Chris Detmers on the horn. We can bring this up later, Trevor. I like that idea. Maybe tomorrow or something, we'll chat about that. You bring up some good points with regards to that, and you brought it up, Pipes, about the playing time, et cetera. Let's take a break. When we come back, Chris Detmers, his son Reed, just threw a no-hitter in Major League Baseball. We'll talk to the proud dad next. It is The Draw.
Illini fans, stop by Game Day Spirit to shop the hottest selection of Fighting Illini gear in town. As graduation looms closer for many of our seniors, what better way to celebrate their time at U of I than to head down to Game Day Spirit? Shop their Illini classics through great brands like Nike and Champion, plus a lot of great novelties to complete your experience. Shop with us in-store at the corner of 6th and Green in Campus Town, on the corner of Neal and Kirby in Champaign, or online anytime at GameDaySpirit.com. Game Day Spirit, where Illini fans shop.
If your engine or transmission isn't running the way it should, and you're not prepared to invest cash in a different vehicle, Long's Garage in Urbana puts miles back into the one you're driving by installing a Jasper remanufactured engine or transmission. Jasper Engines and Transmissions backs their products with a nationwide 3-year, 100,000-mile parts and labor warranty. Call Long's Garage in Urbana at 367-3942 and ask for a Jasper remanufactured product.
This Friday night, it's $15,000 to win for the super late models at Farmer City Raceway. Douglas Dodge presents the Farmer City 74 featuring a 47-lap feature. Plus, catch the action from the modifieds going for $2,000 to win in a 30-lap feature race. The pro late models race for $1,000 to win in a 25-lap main event, and the street stocks go for 20 laps and a $500 top prize. Farmer City Raceway, the Farmer City 74 presented by Douglas Dodge this Friday night. Be there.
Since we opened our doors, UC Bank has been committed to the communities we call home. Building financial wellness, UC is proud to offer customized lending strategies and innovative resources to our vibrant communities. UC Bank, building community one family, one street, one city at a time. Member FDIC, proud to be the official bank of the Fighting Illini.
Hi, Ellen Hook here, owner of your local Ashley Home Store. The Memorial Day mattress sale is going on now at Ashley. Right now, you can save up to $1,100 on select Sealy, Beautyrest, and Serta mattresses. Or buy today and sleep better tonight on an Ashley Sleep Queen mattress for just $199. Don't wait another day. Give yourself the refreshing sleep you need this summer. Hurry to your local Ashley store to explore our wide selection of mattresses or visit ashley.com for better sleep and savings.
Wouldn't it be nice to visit a car dealership where you didn't feel like you were at an auction? Or didn't feel like you were being taken to the cleaners?
I'm going to make them an offer he can't refuse.
Welcome to Sarah Champagne. At Sarah, they offer a one-price promise. Every vehicle at a fair price, no negotiation, only the best price. Sarah Champagne, Honda, BMW, GMC, Buick, and Subaru. S-E-R-R-A, Champagne.com.
Illini fans, you know great things come from hard work and passion. Like Jet's Detroit-style pizza, made in deep steel pans for the thickest, crispiest, cheesy-to-the-edge crust. It's pizza perfection. Their fan fave is back for a limited time deal. Try their chicken bacon ranch pizza with their famous ranch dressing, cheddar, mozzarella, crispy bacon, and grilled chicken. All for just $15.99. Online code RANCH. Jets. Better because it has to be.
In a dangerous world, who can we trust to keep America safe? Not Mary Miller. Miller voted with Bernie Sanders, AOC, and Ilhan Omar to defund our military. Mary Miller was the only Republican from Illinois to vote against the defense budget. Her liberal vote would have cut off funding for our troops at a time when America's enemies are on the march. So reckless, Mary Miller voted against funding to deploy the National Guard to combat illegal immigration and drug smuggling. Mary Miller stood with the Socialist Squad instead of our brave men and women in uniform. Mary Miller can't be trusted. Conservative Congressman Rodney Davis believes in the Reagan mantra of peace through strength. That's why Rodney voted to strengthen our military and give our troops a pay raise. Rodney Davis is the conservative who will keep America safe.
I'm Rodney Davis. I'm running for Congress, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Rodney for Congress.
Pia's opens every morning, daily at 7 a.m. You will find it all at Pia's with live video gaming, sports, food, drinks, and fun. See you at Pia's, West Springfield Avenue in Champaign. Serving food 7 a.m. to 11 p.m. and drinks until 2 a.m. daily. Pia serves up its famous 10-ounce Slugger Burger along with great wings and so much more. You will find it all at Pia's with live video gaming, sports, food, drinks, and fun. See you at Pia's, West Springfield Avenue in Champaign.
When you look in the mirror, are you happy with the image coming back at you? You can make the changes. You can achieve those goals. I did, with Profile by Sanford helping me lose 67 pounds in 8 months. It's simple and easy to follow. I finally feel like me. If you need more details, just go online at profileplan.com with the code DD. Get that free consultation and see if this is right for you. Start a new chapter. Visit profileplan.com, the code DD. You spend half of your life indoors. That's half of your life underneath your roof. Who do you trust to keep you safe and dry underneath it? The name to remember is Roof Doctors. Roof Doctors understands the harsh weather conditions that your roof endures because they're a family and locally owned business. From your community, for your community, the doctors who make the house calls, Roof Doctors, at roofdoctors.com or phone 328-7529. Rest easy under a roof that's been treated by Roof Doctors.
Kelsey Furniture in Tuscola is your local furniture expert. They've been in business over 50 years and their sales team has over 150 years of experience. They carry everything you need to furnish your whole house with top name brands such as Broyhill, Lane, Ashley, Smith Brothers, Bemco Mattresses, and Mohawk Carpeting. Their showroom is huge with over 30,000 square feet of furniture. Stop by Kelsey Furniture in downtown Tuscola today or visit kelseyfurniture.com, K-E-L-S-E-Y, Kelsey Furniture, or like them on Facebook. Kelsey Furniture, quality for less.
Logan, everyone, let's check weather. Free Central Illinois, Champaign, Urbana, and this Saturday, boys, a record and near record-setting heat across much of East Central Illinois, the Twin Cities, and our part of the Midwest yesterday. We'll do it again for the day today with sort of a backdoor from east to west moving cool front that has at least some drier air and a bit of drop-off in temperature readings. That's not forecast to arrive, though, till the day tomorrow. So this early season heat wave weather pattern continues on. Some rain ahead in spots over the weekend and signs of a return to a much wetter weather pattern late next week as well. In the meantime, continued mostly sunny, unseasonably warm and humid for the day today. High temperatures up around 89, they'll top 90, and again, higher than that in some spots, even around the St. Louis area, mind you. But here to about 89 on an east-southeast wind, clear tonight, and 61 for the day tomorrow, sunshine and 85. A couple of scattered showers and thunderstorms over the weekend, especially Saturday. Saturday high up to around 80. 79 on Sunday, dry Monday and Tuesday with highs in the 70s. For Stevie J Broadcasting, I'm meteorologist Greg Solier.
Hey, Line Out fans. It's Georgia B. Catch my boys Lante and Derek Piper weekdays from 4 to 6 on The Drive. Boom, boom, brr.
Trevor Belice running around here somewhere. I know he was recording a Zoom there with Jeremy Warner and Trent Meacham.
So we talked a lot of Illinois basketball yesterday, so I guess Warner and Meacham are talking maybe a little basketball as well. Boy, Trent really this year started working heavy minutes at the Big Ten Network, so kind of becoming a star up there.
He did a good job.
He did. He really did.
Making Champaign proud.
I think he's a guy that is perfect for that role and a solid you know, broadcaster when it comes to that. Obviously knows the game, played professionally, of course, overseas. Okay, we talked about this starting the show. It is time to bring on the happiest father in America. I mean, I don't think you can pick a happier father. And I even had a son graduate college, so I'm probably just as happy. But it was very cool as we welcome in Chris Detmers. What's up, Chris?
Hey, not much. How's it going?
It is so funny that literally, Lucas had his graduation in Tempe, and we somehow made it to a bar. I know that's probably going to surprise you, but we're sitting there, and my youngest son, Andrew, goes, "Hey, Dad, Reed Detmers just threw a no-hitter." I'm like, "What?" And so I wish I would have known it was happening, right, with everything else going on, because we could have focused on that where we were at, but I then got a hold of you, and we talked back and forth just a couple of seconds, and I'm like, man, I don't know if any of us could be any prouder right now, but Chris, to take me into that night, and we can walk you through the game here in a little bit, but just when it ended, how nerve-wracking is that to know you get to the 7th, 8th, 9th? You're a guy that was an extremely good pitcher, so you've probably dabbled in these and had a few, but how was it as a parent to get that close to a no-hitter and watch it happen?
Man, you know what? To tell you the truth, and you're not going to believe this, but we were probably the most relaxed that night,
really?
And we have been all year. I mean, it was unbelievable. Me and my wife have been talking about it, and I don't know if we just kind of felt something was happening, you know, good was going to happen tonight, that night, but, I mean, it was unbelievable. But, you know, we didn't mention that he was throwing a no-hitter to either one of us. You know, we didn't say a word about it.
I love it.
We just kind of looked at each other, and we got to about the fifth or sixth inning, and we didn't move. First off, we didn't move out of our chairs. Obviously, you know, the baseball superstition and all that stuff. But, yeah, I mean, we just kind of looked at each other about the sixth or seventh inning. My wife was like, "I really need to go to the bathroom." I was like, "Nope, it's not happening. You're gonna have to sit there because we're not moving." And she says, I know, you know. And so, yeah, I mean, but I'll tell you the truth. When we got to the ninth inning, that's when it really, you know, it really started. I don't know, the nerves started kicking in, the heartbeat started going a little bit faster, and you know, and then we got to the two outs, and then it was really beating. And what was cool about it is, like, the eighth inning, you could hear the fans. You know, every out, they're just going nuts. And then the ninth inning, it just got louder and louder. And, you know, then you got that final out, and we just, not, I mean, it was just me and my wife and our youngest son, Parker. And we we were definitely going crazy. I mean, there was some tears shed. And it was unbelievable. Yeah. And then I turned my phone off, and I turned it back. I turned it on after the game. I already had about 90 texts on my phone.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah. So that kept me up until Reed called about 1 a.m. So yeah, we were plenty busy and had plenty of stuff to do. That's for sure.
What was that phone call like with Reed when you finally got to talk to him? I know you got to see his reaction, probably the post game interview. I know it was broadcast MLB Network for everyone across the country to see. I'm sure you had extra innings or however you watch him. But what was that like when you guys finally got talk person to person?
I mean, it was unbelievable. And I know Lon knows Reed a little bit. Reed is, he doesn't have a lot of words to say, right? I mean, he's just a quiet, you know, kind of even keel kid. And, you know, and I mean, that's just the way he was. Man, really. I mean, I said, "Hey, did you do anything tonight?" And he just started laughing. And he's like, "Man," he said, you know, he said he felt fine. Everything was fine. He felt calm. He said when he got to two outs on that last hair, he said, "That's when I started shaking." He's like, "That's when I had to just kind of start breathing and, you know, relax myself for that last final pitch."
Is that calm important? I mean, you played professionally. Does that maybe play into a guy being able to accomplish a no-hitter and not feel that good extra call, tension call, maybe in the seventh or the eighth when everybody else is starting to buzz about it?
Yeah, you know, and it might be, you know, I mean, he's just so even keel. I mean, I would have to believe you when you get to that point, he said he really didn't think about it until about the sixth or seventh inning. And then he really, you know, that's when it kind of kicked in what was really going on. But yeah, I mean, maybe that has something to do with it. I mean, he's just so calm all the time, and he doesn't show any emotion. You know, you hardly ever see that, but man, when you saw, I think it was the double play, and might have been the seventh inning when Walsh got it at first and threw the second and got the double play. See him pumping his fist, and I was like, "Man, he's really, you know, he's into this one." And so, yeah, and then obviously after the game, after the ninth inning, after the last out, you see him going crazy, and that's, you know, he's usually not that emotional, but you know, with something like that, it's hard not to be.
I bet. Visiting with Chris Detmers, of course, his son Reed pitching for the Angels, just threw a no hitter. Do you think it's sunk into him yet?
You know what? Yeah, I know it has. I just talked to him about a half hour ago, and I think it's starting to finally, you know, kick in that what actually really happened. I mean, you know, he's getting phone calls from people, you know, throughout the MLB. He said Rob Manfred, you know, sent him a text. You know, somebody, I can't remember who he said, somebody in the 1970s that threw a no-hitter from the Angels sent him, you know, a bottle of whiskey. And,
oh,
I mean,
wow.
You know, yeah, you know, he's getting some of this stuff. I think it's finally kicked in, like, wow, you know, I really did this, and this is, this is a big deal.
How hard will it be now for him to take the mound this next time out? Or do you think, I mean, Chris, again, as Pipe said, you were a hell of a pitcher professionally, et cetera. So how hard will it be on that next start, whether it be to just kind of relax or whether it be to not throw 500 miles an hour when you get out there? What do you think it's going to be like, from this start to the next?
Just knowing Reed, I would just say he's already focused on his next start.
Yeah.
I talked to him, obviously, you know, a few minutes ago, and he's throwing a bullpen tomorrow, and he's like, "I got to work on this and this and this for the next start." So, you know, he's pretty quick at doing that, you know, like getting rid of that last start and moving on to the next one, even though, you know, what he did was humongous. I mean, he realizes, you know, the next start's just as important. So I got to get ready for that. And, you know, with the team that he's on and the way they're playing, you know, you want to be at your best, that's for sure.
Without a doubt. Chris Detmer's our guest. Now, Chris, I don't know that if my son was playing professionally, I would want him all the way out in Los Angeles, essentially, because that's not easy to get to for you guys to watch games. How are you guys taking it in terms of how often you're going to try to watch him actually pitch in a stadium? I mean, obviously, you would have done anything in the world if you'd have known he was throwing a no-hitter on Tuesday night. You would have done anything you could to get out to L.A., but how are you guys kind of handling this first year of saying, okay, well, they're in Chicago, so we'll definitely go to that series? Is that kind of how you have to do it, or are you trying to figure out certain trips that you can go out and see him?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely not ideal, that's for sure. But, I mean, we've looked at some things. Well, we went up to Chicago when they were up there a couple of weeks ago, but he didn't pitch on during that series. And we have two other boys, so you know,
sure,
they're both going to be playing in the summertime. One will be pitching here for a collegiate league here in Springfield, and then you know our youngest one plays for the Decatur Commodores, but he's playing for a team out of Indiana. It's a national team. He's going to be traveling a little bit this summer to get ready. You know, if everything goes right, he stays healthy for the draft next year. So, We're definitely going out there in August. We don't have any work schedule, and who knows if he'll even be pitching then. But we're going to try to make at least two trips where we know that he's going to be throwing and, you know, get out there this summer.
Chris, you mentioned the way the Angels have been playing. They're 21-12, second most wins in the AL. Reed's on the same staff as Shohei Ohtani. He's got Mike Trout in center when he's pitching that no-hitter. Like, what's that like to watch?
Oh, yeah, isn't that unbelievable? I mean, you got the two best players, you know, in all of baseball on the same team, and it's just, you know, and we talked about, you know, the first time you met Mike Trout, you know, he's like, how was that? He said, Dad, he's like, he's just another guy. He's just another player. He's like, no, he's not. You know, right. He's the best player in the world. It's like, he's not he's just not another player. But to him, you know, they're just his teammates now. And this year, I mean, I think it's been a little bit different than last year. And he said that the camaraderie and everything in the dugout and the clubhouse is just totally different. I think that's why they're winning. He's like, he just says that everybody is having a blast. Everybody's rooting for each other. And, you know, that's what it takes to win.
Is there anything you had seen from him in recent starts or outings that made you feel, not that you're going to say, okay, a no-hitter's coming up, but that he's really going to have a great showing like this, or that things are going to click for him to have it come together like that?
Well, if he wasn't so hard-headed, it probably would have happened a few weeks ago. If he was looking to bring him some other people. We have been on him and on him about throwing the changeup. And he's never needed to throw a changeup because, you know, he's had success in high school, college, with his fastball curveball and so many strikeouts. He really didn't need the changeup. But now he's kind of finding that, I need another pitch. I need something off my fastball that's going to help me. And, I mean, that's what helped him Tuesday night. I mean, it's just he threw 24 changeups out of 108 pitches. And I think the highest for that that he's thrown in a game was 7. So, you know, he's figuring out that this is what I have to do to have success at this level. I can't just blow it by everybody because, you know, everybody throws 95 to 100 now. So, he's below average on fastball, but his curveball is good. But he needed something else to get off of the fastball. And that's to me, hopefully that, you know, clicked. And from here on out, he'll know I got to use that pitch.
How much, Chris, and I'm not saying this, obviously you're not an overbearing father or something, obviously, but you obviously had a great career. And I know, like, when we played against Reed when he was a young man, and I know you did a great job of limiting him to so many pitches. And so you've always, with all of your boys, just pretty much had a nice idea of what you wanted them to accomplish up to a certain point. How much of a role do you have now with him being in Major League Baseball? Is that something that you just sit back, and if he decides to ask you something, you answer? Or are you not shy to say, hey, you know, I'm just noticing it would be nice to see a changeup on occasion for the old man?
Yeah. I mean, I still put my input in. Obviously, I'm farther back now. I kind of stepped away a little bit. But, I mean, we talk after every start.
Sure.
You know, we kind of talk about the pitches and this and that and how to set up hitters. So he'll ask for my input, you know. I mean, and I'm the one that's, us as parents, we've seen him pitch the most. So it's like, you know, he trusts what we have to say. And what helps also is one of his agents is Kent Mosley. And, I mean, that's huge. You know, he's got 17 years of professional experience, and he was left-handed. That, you know, on top of me and him, and then, you know, his announcers for the Angels are Mark Langston and Mark Gubazaw. You know, they played a lot of years in the big leagues. And I've told them, it's like, hey, you've got to talk to these guys, listen to what they say. They're going to help you out. But I mean, I still do put in, but not near like I used to. That's for sure.
Yeah, that's for sure. How had he been pitching? I know Pipes pretty much asked you that, but was he off to a pretty good start for the Angels in terms of this season?
He has, you know, a few good starts, not very many bad starts, maybe a couple, you know, just bad luck here and there with shift and all of that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he hadn't been throwing really. I mean, if you look at his numbers, he was 1-1 with like a 5-something ERA. I don't think he pitched as bad as the ERA looked.
Got it.
And I mean, like every start, you kind of see the momentum and the confidence, and you know, I belong here. You know, it's 22 years old. I mean, that's just, you know, that's hard. And I what Berker was telling me, he's like, you know, he played with John Smoltz and Glavin and Maddox. Like, you look at their first year stats. They all struggled.
Yeah.
You know, it takes time. It takes time to figure it out. And then when you figure it out, then you take off. So, you know, hopefully, you know, this 11th start and throwing the change up, you know, hopefully this is just time to, you know, take off.
You know, and I hope you don't get mad at me for asking this, Chris, but you know, knowing that you got so close to see Reed, to see him at 22 years old, and who knows with your other two sons as well, they may be here just as well, but to see him, you know, do what he did in college and obviously growing up, and then now all of a sudden throwing just the no-hitter, but even that, just being in Major League Baseball. And again, you knowing as close as you got to doing that, what is that like for you? I mean, there's got to be just an unbelievable feeling of, I'm so happy for him to make it.
Yeah. I mean, just knowing how hard it is to get there.
Right.
I mean, you know. I mean, it's a lot of hard work, a lot of dedication, and he's done it. You know, he is very hard-headed, determined, straightforward. You know, I'm going to do this, and even last year he struggled a little bit, and he's like, you know what, and this is the best thing, and I would like to, you know, just with high school kids, you know, if you have an opportunity to play at college, do it. You know, if you have the opportunity to get drafted, you know, because that's what, you know, Reed had all that success in high school, but then his first year of college, he didn't have it, right? So you have to, you know, it strengthens you. You have to learn how to fight through it. And to me, that's what's been huge right now, because, you know, now he knows what it takes to fight through it and to get better and, you know, to move on.
That's awesome.
Chris, we probably have a lot of parents out there listening, whether they have a kid playing travel ball or youth baseball. And you mentioned, or Lon even brought it up, like managing Reed's way up and figuring out pitch counts and everything. What advice would you give if they feel like they got a talented pitcher, even just a talented baseball player, how to get the most out of that or how to approach that?
I mean, as far as pitching-wise, I mean, I have always been, like Lon said, you know, I've always been pitch count guy. I've never let any of my kids throw a curveball until they were freshmen in high school.
Because awesome.
if you can't control your fastball and throw it for strikes in and out, then why do you need to throw another pitch? I mean, that's been my philosophy, and I think that's a lot of guys just going through the system and, you know, and seeing how it is. If you can't control your fastball, you know, then I don't understand why you need to throw a curveball.
Yeah.
And I understand, you know, not everybody throws hard, but that makes the even bigger point, right? You need to control it and hit your spot and throw the changeup. You know, and that's the other thing that's so hard for these younger kids is they think because they're throwing a changeup, well, they're going to hit it. It's like if you have the same arm speed as your fastball, then they're not going to hit it. I mean, right now, and I was just listening the other night on MLB Network, they said this year has been like the highest rate of changeups thrown by Major League pitchers. So this is the first year, you know, it's the hardest pitch to hit because you can't pick it up, you know. So, and that, to me, that's the biggest thing is, you know, pitch count I'm huge on, you know, at a younger age. And, you know, like I said, throw the fastball, throw the bunch, you know, hit your spots, work on your location. and then move on from there.
Well, you talk about location. I don't mean to make you a pitching coach here, but you know, like, I'm sure there was junction or certain spots where for all your kids, maybe they had a stretch where all of a sudden they weren't throwing as many strikes. What did you try to do with them? Is it just basically going back to the fundamentals and, you know, making sure the foot's landed towards the plate, et cetera?
Yeah. Direction. Obviously, direction's huge, going towards home plate. And try not to, you know, I mean, when I say hit the corners, you don't want to nibble, you know,
right.
If I do pitching lessons, my first thing is what is the best pitch of baseball? And, you know, they'll say fastball, curveball, changeup. No, it's not. It's strike one, right? You've got to get strike one, right? If you don't get strike one, then you're behind a count and the hitter is ready to hit.
Yeah.
You have to get strike one no matter what pitch you throw. But, I mean, when it comes back, if you're not throwing strikes, you know, you really got to pick up the glove, you know, the mitt, and really don't aim it. Just let it go. And if you're missing in or out, I mean, those are mechanical things that you gain, you know, with experience. But, yeah, I mean, my thing is, you know, at an early age, I would have my catcher sit up right down the middle.
Yep.
You know, and then if he can hit that, you know, if he can hit that 8 out of 10 times, then let's start moving a little bit farther out on each side.
I love it. Yeah. I always tell, you know, both my boys when they play it, I'm like, man, just get that first out of the inning. Just get that first out, and then you can breathe. But I think I love your idea even better. Just get the first strike, and then we'll move on from there. Well, Chris Detmers, I certainly am not your best friend, but I have always enjoyed our conversations, and I'm certainly proud of what Reed has been able to accomplish. I'm anxious to see your other two boys come through and do their thing as well. You guys are a great family. You're great for baseball, and I just couldn't be happier for you and your wife. Thank you so much today, and again, Chris, congratulations, buddy.
All right, I appreciate it. Thanks a lot, and we will tailgate this fall at a football game.
Yes, let's go. I'm ready for that. Let's get over and we'll really talk baseball.
That's right.
I love it.
Get some Illinois football going.
Let's go. Yeah, I told Derek the other day, I said, every once in a while, I'll just get a random message from Chris saying, hey, why is this happening on this basketball court? I'm like, I don't know. I'll check with Pipes. Something like that. I am
a huge, huge Illinois fan, Derek. I look, watch your stuff, I love just rooting for football and basketball, and then, you know, and obviously basketball is having their success.
Yeah,
and football, I don't think it's too far away. I really like Coach Bielema.
Yes.
Hopefully he'll get that turned around and we'll get going.
Well, we will be in touch for a tailgate, my friend. That would be an honor,
yes,
and it'd be awesome to have you there, and we'll chat soon. Thank you so much, Chris Detmers.
All right, appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, buddy. That is awesome. Chris Detmers, of course, came up under the Cardinals, or with the Cardinals, and almost made it, and now 22 years old, his son Reed, not only pitching in the big leagues, but throwing a no-hitter, Derek Piper. You have a son that's almost 3 weeks old.
That's right.
You will not believe when they begin playing sports how proud it makes you feel. Or whatever. Maybe they're not playing sports. Whatever they're doing, it is a feeling that is, you cannot explain it. And I cannot imagine then taking it to the next level of them being in the big leagues and, like, throwing a no-hitter. It would just be like, you've got to be kidding me. All right, we're way up against it here. Let's come back. We're going to talk. Can we talk some NBA next? I haven't chatted with you about the NBA much, so, and I want your expertise on that because I don't have much.
I do want to talk some hockey, too.
Okay. Little Blues, they play tonight. Let's do it.
Big game.
All right, so we got next hour. Let's just roll through that. Maybe talk a little Cardinals baseball. Of course, they lose today, unfortunately, 3-2. That was not something that you plan on doing against the Baltimore Orioles. It's that simple. All right, thanks to Chris Detmers right there. That was some really good stuff. All right, we're back. It is The Drive. You're-